banks are safe, there's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I hadn't been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love, don't you?
Arbitrage on this trend has been margin call.
Think you was a hook, trusted your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of the same. Are they cooking the books? Save up a decade, now lost in a day. Now the new rap just getting away. Bigger the bag, bigger rebel effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big tippy net. Made from your savings and 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized losses while reaping the gain. First to fall in the straight with swore. Cause you're just a pawn in the fertility stream.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the cloud. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Taught the truth so we repeat a mistake. Sell us a dream and never deliver. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mouthless thicket. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled to risks so nobody knows. The higher it'll go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. The government kept you as private play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. And bailouts are poor and depleted.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economies are largely X.
What would happen if we take the money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we get pulled out of capital? Where would we be if our money enriched it? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cantillon effects with the will of free markets.
Build an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step 2.
Move the savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step 3.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities moving this way. With our own money, everything changed. We no longer positive to the
game. Tired of our desire, earned by work, and tired earning a larger piece of pie for a nuance to verify. Money is data powerful and when magic keeps score of politicians come and capturing part of the place and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being censored. Move on from gambling saving. Move on from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have to trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get to the children's game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, enter the game.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday and welcome to episode 68 of the Bitcoin Veterans Spaces. I am Coleman and I am your host today and every day, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And let's get a show of hands or fist pumps. If anyone was like me and just kept dreaming about the price of Bitcoin last night hitting 100K, I know I definitely had some dreams about, price action. It was pretty vivid. It must be really contagious because my wife said she had the exact same dreams last night. She said she kept waking up thinking the price would get 100K. So, we're definitely talking about it in our house. And, it's.
Coleman, do you sleep on grounded sheets?
No, I don't. I sleep on a nice, comfy, memory foam mattress. My back kills me if I don't have a good night's sleep. That's my basic bitch thing. Some people like to get a pumpkin spice latte if you're in the Navy. You know, the Army guys like to get like a cappuccino. For me, I just need to make sure I have a good mattress. Good morning to, Jordan. Good morning, Wade. Good morning, Eomar. And good morning, Bob Van Kirk. How was your all's afternoon, evening?
Good, great, and wonderful, as usual.
Pretty awesome. I had one of the guys in the Vets channels flew through Juneau, a guy out of Anchorage, so stopped out and had a drink and met a fellow Bitcoin veteran.
I missed that, Wade. You came in and out. You said you met who?
There's a guy out of Anchorage who's a fellow Bitcoin veteran who I hadn't met before. He does, he's a communications tech for cable company up here. He did some work down in the Southeast Alaska yesterday. So ran out, had a drink, met with him. Things like that are always fun when you're meeting a new Bitcoiner from out of your community.
Absolutely. Did you direct him to Bitcoin Alaska and the Bitcoin Veterans page?
Oh, yeah. He's a member of I have a Bitcoin Alaska Signal channel as well. And that's where I got tied in with him, got him in the groups. I hooked him up with a pair of the Bitcoin Vets door magnets for his car. So, yeah.
Awesome. And in case y'all are just stumbling across our space, there's going to be one of the best conferences ever thrown in Bitcoin history. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th in Juneau. Make sure you get your lodging and tickets very quickly. Like, recommend doing it yesterday. If you didn't do it yesterday, do it this morning. Lodging is going to book up really quick. But this is going to be one of the best conferences out there. It's going to be all signal, high noise. It's just going to be awesome. Actually, not high noise. It's just going to be awesome. Sorry, my mind is like all over the place. It's
there's going to be so much signal, but good luck finding it amongst all the noise. It's going to be great.
Something like that. I apologize. I need to get another cup of coffee and some more bone broth. But it's going to be amazing. Get there early. I am telling you, you're not going to want to miss out on this. Jordan was teasing yesterday. He's going to be running around in his Ranger panties. So you're going to want to see his bright white thighs up in Juneau. It's going to be awesome.
So something else that happened yesterday, I don't know if I should share this, but I'm gonna. So I was messaging with Lisa Huff, and she said that she was going to have a dinner last night with somebody in Alaska politics. She mentioned that yesterday in the spaces, so I messaged her in the back channel and said, "Can you tell me who this is? I'm just curious because I know a lot of people in politics up here." She said, "I'm not sure, but I'll get back with you." So later she did get back with me, and it was Mike Dunleavy, just the governor. So she talked to him, and I guess he invited her to speak at the energy conference or summit up in Anchorage in June, and he's really excited about the Juneau conference. So now there's a possibility that we might be able to, I don't know, hopefully utilize that contact to get him to encourage people in different realms, like whether it be the Permanent Fund Corp or Department or Division of Retirement Benefits or the Alaska Retirement Management Board or different aspects of government. You know, when the governor calls you up and you're an exempt employee and says you will be attending this, it could add a little bit more impact to the conference.
I just want to take a moment to applaud all the work Wade has already done and the connections he's made even before starting this path down the Bitcoin conference in Juneau. Just awesome work, man. Like, keep it up, and obviously let us know in the chats what you need help with.
Yeah, honestly, Wade, it's it looks like it's just going to be an amazing conference. So I can only imagine the amount of work that you're having to put in the background. And so one of the things that you can do, even if you know that you're not going to be able to make this conference for some reason, just go ahead and click on that Bitcoin Alaska handle right there and go ahead and share out some of the tweets. Let your friends, let your family, let other Bitcoiners know that this conference is going on. Again, it's going to be a great conference, and I would hate for people to miss out just because they didn't know it was happening. So if you could do that for us, it'd be much appreciated.
Also, Wade, I'm glad you didn't take my advice early on to, pump the brakes, take care of your own personal stuff first and then start with a conference. And you said, oh yeah, okay. And then like the next day, I don't think he slept that night and he just had a laundry list of all the things he was going to do, and he's crushed it.
It's actually your fault that I did this to begin with. I, I didn't think I'd be able to pull off an Alaska a Juneau conference. And you said, no, we could do something. We could make this work. And you really got my mind turning. And I think you pushed me a couple different times. And then when I said that my boss wanted me to get a certification and I needed to take personal time, you're like, do that first. And I can't halfway do anything. And if I would have waited till next year, Alaska would miss out. You know, the price of Bitcoin may drop a little bit and I want people to come up here with money. So, you know, everything came back to this is the time, this is the place. And if people are willing to go to halfway around the world to Madeira for a conference and spend a massive amount of money for a conference, why not come to Alaska? It's cheaper. It's prettier, my opinion.
Yeah, again, I keep talking about it. I am so excited for this conference. I just love Alaska. If I could convince my wife to tolerate the cold weather, I would be up there instantly. But she really likes the heat, so it's out of the question. But the summers are just amazing. I am so looking forward to this. Wade, what is something that we can have everybody here do that'll help you with the conference?
Let me grill on that. Give me a day or two to come back to you on that. I definitely want to find something.
Retweet the link.
Yeah, that's a start. Definitely get the word out. We haven't really started pushing advertising yet. This is the primary space. You know, there's the whale tickets have sold really well. The conference tickets not as well, but you know, everybody wants to do the cruise. I want to definitely get the people who would impact the state. So if you're considering coming, understand that if you want to be on that cruise, get your tickets because that's limited. There's only so many seats on the boat, and unless we want to have a fight with the Coast Guard, that we will lose. The 50 cal on the front of their boat will always win. Get your tickets for the whale pass. The conference is going to be epic. And the same thing, it's get your lodging. We were lucky enough to get a hotel to completely block off their hotel. And then another hotel offered a discount and is willing to let us pay in Bitcoin. They're just, even though I've hit walls with places like that, there's a nonprofit called Travel Juno that is supposed to help people put on conferences. They told me, no, I have to wait 2 years and then I have to have it in the season where nobody would want to come up here anyway. And I could only have 400 people come up for the conference. I completely disregarded everything they said, even though they make a head tax on the people who come, you know, they make a head tax on the people who lodge in Juneau, but yet they weren't willing to help me with the conference. So I've completely bypassed them and I'm doing all the work myself. They're supposed to get like Alaska Airlines discount codes. Nope, they won't do anything. So I'm making sure to give them bad publicity because I'm considering doing what they do with Bitcoin after this conference and replacing them. But yeah, advertising is big. Advertising is big. Just get the word out. I've heard from other people who are considering coming, who are even bigger names than the ones we have listed. So. It's going to be an amazing conference. It's not on the website, but Rustin's going to be up here from Simply Bitcoin. Really anxious to meet him. Who else? You know, there's word that rumblings that some, maybe a certain comedian that some people might know might make it. Who else? I'm one of the bigger names in Bitcoin. I'll let you take a guess at who that might be, but working with somebody in that office. And of course I can't name names yet because they're not guaranteed, but we're going back and forth and they would definitely make this a very high impact. And if anybody has any tabs on how to get a hold of Jack Maulers, please get him up here.
Yeah, everyone just start tagging him. We'll start tagging him and on this and we can start generating some traction with that. But also, we're going to have some big name guests showing up on the show, next month. So we're going to have Dennis Porter joining us, on Monday after Thanksgiving, December 2nd. And we're going to have Natalie Brunel joining us on that Friday, the 6th. So, I know both of those have contacts with Jack, so we can always just try and see if we can get him in there, but we should definitely try and get both of those names up there as well to go to the conference.
Yeah, they're not unfamiliar with us up here. We, did a virtual conference, year ago, and it was Dennis Porter, Sam Callahan, Natalie Brunel, Greg Foss, Alex Danzik, Don Bay, Andy Pitt. Like, it was an epic, like, full day virtual conference. So, yeah, Nat and Dennis both know who we are, so I'm hoping that they come up here. In fact, Dennis lived up in Alaska at one point. I think he worked at a fish processing plant, actually. I think he did, when he was in his younger years, and I promised him a halibut trip out on the boat. So remind him of that when you speak with him and say, hey, Wade, still got that boat ride. Come up to Juneau. Go fishing.
Yeah, I can't wait for riding your boat, Wade, and chum the waters.
Say that again, Mining Goblin.
I can't wait to ride in your boat and chum the waters.
I won't toss you out. You know, we don't have that many sharks up here. They're salmon sharks. They don't go after people. They look like a mini great white, though. It's scary as hell.
I want to welcome just everybody in the audience. Just want to say thank you for tuning in. If y'all could do me just a quick favor, if you just go to the top here and just go ahead and retweet this, let's get some more listeners joining us. We only have about 50 right now, but we're going to start switching into today's topic, and we're going to start having some themes on Friday. So this Friday, I thought would be perfect to be Freedom Friday. So we're about just the importance of Bitcoin, why it's important for each of us. We each kind of give a little story if we want to share. And just we'll go ahead and load up on some ammunition or some talking points to go ahead and unload on our family members that we may have joining us, or we're going to their house during Thanksgiving. A lot of people will start traveling this weekend, so I want to make sure that everyone is prepared. If I had to put a wager on it, I would bet that Bitcoin is probably going to be a talking point at some point over the next week with your loved ones. So let's just make sure everyone is prepared to answer some of those questions. And the biggest thing I want to stress before until Thanksgiving is just giving accurate information, and not overselling it. And what I mean by overselling Bitcoin is just talking about price. Price is fun. Price, yeah, it will help a lot of people, but that's not the main, that shouldn't be the main reason you get into Bitcoin. And if that is, you're going to be one of the first people that sells it when it does a correction. So we want to just make sure everyone understands what it is and the benefits for it. But so before we start kicking this off, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Punch Plate. You need to stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate, go to punchplate.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. And Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo supplies at blacksheepammo.com. And again, we talked about it this morning, but Bitcoin Alaska, go check them out at bitcoinalaska.org. Get your tickets July 5th and July 6th. So we're going to go start rolling right into this, and, just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you want to go first, or you'd like me to go first, with just talking about why Bitcoin is so important and what is kind of the biggest things that you take away, with your Bitcoin journey. So if anyone wants to start it off, I'll leave the floor open. I see Mining Goblin. All right, let's see. Go ahead and take the floor, sir.
All right. So Bitcoin is freedom tech, or it's one piece of this broader idea of freedom tech, and freedom tech is anything that uplifts humanity, anything that enables humanity, anything that can't be controlled by centralized authority to tell you, no, you cannot do this. Now, there are good things to do that with, right? Like murder and stuff like that. It's sometimes good to have a centralized authority tell people to not murder. But when it comes to technology, and especially in the digital age, in the information age, information has this property where when I have an idea and I share it with you, and you have an idea and you share it with me, we now each have two ideas. We've inflated the supply of information. We've inflated the supply of ideas out there. And that's the best kind of inflation that we want. So not all inflation is bad. Monetary inflation via debasement is horrible. But the inflation of ideas, the sharing of ideas, and ideas are just information. And what Bitcoin gives us for the first time in the history of humanity is we have information that's keeping track of who owes whom what, that is anchored in time using energy, which is like the currency of the universe, right? So like that's a very, very high level esoteric way of like talking about these things. But let's think about it like concretely, right? Like sharing information uplifts other people. If you don't share information, how do you learn from others? If we as a species don't share information between ourselves, we never get the roads that we're running on. We never get this wonderful X platform that we're speaking on, right? That was all because ideas were shared, information were shared. And then more importantly, the ideas were built. It's great to have an idea, but if you're not doing anything to put the idea into practice, then the idea has a chance of dying, right? Because it's not guaranteed that these ideas and this information go about. It takes human action. Funnily enough, human action is the fundamental underpinning of economics, right? Especially when you look at the Mises Austrian economics philosophy, human action is what drives it. And you sitting there and doing nothing is an action in and of itself. You're choosing not to do it. And so to me, Bitcoin represents this opportunity to share ideas and then also value those ideas, right? Before, when you had an idea and you put it out into the world, you could try to get it valued. You could go pitch it. You can go somewhere else. Now, if you have an idea, you can put it into practice. Or if you don't have the ability to put it into practice, you can start stacking sats. And if you stack sats long enough, you will unlock your time. You will free up your time to pursue this idea that you have. You will free up your time to travel, to go interact with people, to pursue your passions, to pursue your God-given gift. And that's what Bitcoin represents to me. So when your family wants to hound you for being lucky, just remember that being lucky is the intersection of opportunity and preparedness. Luck is the residue of preparedness, right? It took effort. It took action to get to where we are at, to understand Bitcoin to the degree that we all do. And it never ends. And so have some grace this Thanksgiving. Don't get down on anybody. Don't stick your nose up in the air because you still don't know as much as the next guy in Bitcoin. And if people have questions, answer the questions. But otherwise, just sit there and be happy, be joyful that this idea that we're all sharing together, that we're all participating in, that we're all taking action to move forward, to advance forward, it's working.
Wow, that was really good, Mining Goblin.
Cool. I got to get back to work. Thanks, guys. Hope you guys have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a good weekend. But that was really powerful, with that. And there's a lot of big takeaways. I was trying to take some of the notes down. But it's surround yourself with others, that are more knowledgeable. I try and really stress this with my kids, is that if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to find a new room. You should always try and surround yourself with someone that's better. And there's, always go into something with a very humble attitude. Even if you know that, I would say that everybody up here on this panel, and there's a lot of people in the audience, would consider themselves quite knowledgeable in Bitcoin. I would implore you to go into different rooms or discussions with the thought process of, I don't really know anything. I'm just going to sit down and listen to everybody and hear their perspective. And so I think that's really, really big, and just listen to what others have to say. I think a lot of time we try and cut people off, or we want to try and get our opinion heard or our stance. Sometimes it's just best to sit there and take notes and just kind of think things over. So that was good. And then sharing knowledge. My business coach told me something that's stuck with me this entire time. But he says, by lighting someone else's candle, you'll never dim your flame. And so, what he means by that is share what you know with others. Just because you're passing something along, it's not going to take anything away from you. It's not going to hurt your business. It's not going to hurt it's not going to hurt you. It can only make you better, and you'll have more light surrounding you. So, yeah, that was really good, Mining Goblin. Who wants to follow that one up? Nobody. Hey, Omar, I'm going to call you out, sir. I'm going to get you to go next.
All right. That's good. Cause I was going to go. I was actually talking and then I realized that my mic was muted. So I consistently double mute myself regardless of what I'm doing. So, so it's funny cause I was actually, writing, last night an article about, you know, Bitcoin and like how I got here, like how I got involved with Bitcoin. And, I think, one thing that like sticks out from like what I've written so far, and it isn't much, I just kind of started it, but is the way like the difference in how I look at things, right? So like I own, like stocks and stuff like that. And when I own those, I just use them as like a vehicle of investment. Like I see it purely as a way to like increase the amount of like fiat currency I have within the Federal Reserve system, right? Like it's the, quote, like safe way to like earn income on the money you have. You know, it comes with all the shortfalls, right? Like if you are like, for example, if you are, you know, against all the wars and stuff that we're fighting, or you're against, you know, like whatever, like, you know, pick your like social cause, you know, it's nearly impossible to invest without in some way, dirtying your money with, these different things, you know, whether it's like, you know, if you're, I don't know, pick one. Because like most of this stuff all flows up, or like these companies are also owned by like the big banks. So like there's no real way to separate it out. But if you're investing, if you buy Bitcoin, you're basically opting out of this corrupt Federal Reserve system, right? Like you're taking your money and you're saying, nah, I'm not doing this. I don't want this, you know, fiat blood money. I'm going to put it into Bitcoin. And, you know, to me, it's, instead of just investing to earn more fiat, I'm investing to, secure liberty, to hopefully end all of these forever wars that we're fighting. You know, if you read Smedley Butler's Wars of Racket, you know, he talks about how all these companies are making money hand over fist from these wars. And, you know, if you can't avoid it by investing, you can't keep your money in a bank, you know, you can't opt out that way, right? That should be the way that you can opt out, but you can't. You know, if you keep your money in a savings account, it's going to be inflated away, way faster than you can earn on it. So the only real option to opt out and secure your wealth, you know, I guess you could argue gold maybe, but there's plenty of shortfalls there. So you get to Bitcoin, and you know, Bitcoin is I think the way of the future. You know, like I've argued on here and in articles multiple times how I think, you know, nation states are going to find Bitcoin as like the way to transact. And it just keeps your money out of this system, out of the dirty system that does all these things that are against our own interests, you know, whether it's attacking our liberties or, you know, attacking other human beings. You know, Bitcoin is a way to opt out. And, I think it was in, the Bitcoin Standard that Saif al-Din kind of talks about how inflationary monetary tactics and stuff are, you know, part and parcel to like how nations have waged war throughout history. So I don't remember. I think it was him, or it might have been Nick Bhatia in Layered Money. Maybe he mentioned it too. You know, Bitcoin gets you out of that game. So that's why I'm still here, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's one of the big things. I think that we need to get back to sound money and money that just can't be printed out. And you right at the beginning, Omar, you said freedom money. By implementing a Bitcoin standard, we'll end almost all the wars. And I do truly believe that, because again, they can't fund them, on a Bitcoin standard. You need a vote on it, and so it'll change a lot of things. And just instantaneously, that just makes humanity in the world a better place. Or just there's less violence, there's less chaos, there's more peace. And so that's one of the big things that I like about Bitcoin, is that again, it naturally tampers that side, because again, they can't fund it endlessly. and keeping your money out of the dirty system. Like, again, we just put new sanctions on a Russian bank for the escalation that's going on between the Ukraine and Russia war. Again, that's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help. It's not going to help the Russian people. It's not going to help the Russian companies. It's only going to make them find different ways and different avenues. And it's only going to make other enemies of the United States look harder for alternative methods to interact with each other. So again, removing the people that are in power and controlling it. Again, it makes things better. And again, there shouldn't be anyone in control of the money. It doesn't matter if you're trying to do something with the best intentions. There's always going to be a negative consequence because of it. Cause you're, no matter what decision you make, there's always going to be an opposite reaction to the other side. And so again, removing that and having just again, decentralized money, I think is really, really good. So thank you.
Yeah. And I just want to add in there, cause you mentioned like sanctions and stuff. You know, sanctions aren't peaceful. You know, we kind of tend to think of them as like peaceful things that are, you know, well, we're not being violent. You know, there was that, I think she was a Secretary of State, right? Albright back in the day. And she was asked, oh, you know, the sanctions on Iraq have, you know, claimed the lives of, you know, 500,000 Iraqi children. Do you think it's worth it? And she was like, oh yeah, it's definitely worth it. You know, like there's an actual clip of her. You know, she was she sounded slightly less enthusiastic, but, you know, it's just all like a terrible thing to be involved in, you know? So, yeah, avoiding all that is a huge plus.
And then I forget there is, I'm not sure if it was a general or, an officer or just a platoon commander, platoon sergeant who had, coined the phrase, terrorist math. And for every terrorist that you kill, you just all of a sudden generate 10 extra just because of the ripple effect from it. And so again, you don't have to necessarily cause direct death. But these sanctions, you're harming these kids, you're harming everybody. So again, they just grow up with resentment towards whoever caused them this pain and suffering. So you're
right. Yeah, that was McChrystal. It was his coin mathematics. I actually have that in, my article, American Victory. He said, let us say that there are 10 in a certain area following a military operation, 2 are killed. How many insurgents are left? Traditional mathematics would say 8 would be left. There are more likely to be as many as 20 because each one you killed has a brother, father, son, and friends.
And who was that? I missed it.
That was General McChrystal. I forget what his first name is.
I'm just going to
write Stanley? Is it Stanley McChrystal?
I don't know. I'll do a search. No, that was really good. Do you have anything else you want to add on that, Yomar?
No, that's it. I'll let somebody else get some mic time.
Bob or Wade, it'll be a coin flip. Who wants to go?
I'll let Wade go. I apologize. I had a call interrupt most of this space.
So wait, I'll rephrase the question in case anybody's just tuning in late. For Bitcoin, we're doing Freedom Friday. What aspect of Bitcoin do you find for Freedom Tech? What's the thing that stands out for you? What are the things that you want to see pursued further with it? I can't hear you, Wade. So I'm not sure if you're still there, but I'll go ahead and go for mine. I want to default a little bit to the book, The Sovereign Individual. And, the book, I didn't write down the date, but it was written in the late 90s, I believe. It was well before Bitcoin, was anything. But in that book, they kind of predict everything that's happening right now. So if you haven't read it, I highly recommend just going on Amazon and ordering it, and just read it over the Thanksgiving break. It's a very good book to have as a resource. And so one of the things that I'm a huge proponent of is the sovereign ability. People, you can be locked in certain places just because of your financial means. You know, you can only afford a house at a certain value. So you're stuck in a neighborhood and just depending on everyone's circumstances, which are vastly different, you can be locked in that. for a long time. And so with me, with the Bitcoin and the financial aspect, or the freedom aspect, is the financial aspect of it. As you invest your money into something that can't be debased and then it grows, I always like seeing the stories where people use it to benefit themselves and benefit their family by moving out and doing something that they want to do, unlocking time. So being able to go out and spend more time with your family, your kids, or just pursue a job that you're able to do now because you're not shackled to the machine or shackled to the hamster wheel. So that for me is one of the big things that I find fascinating with Bitcoin. And again, with this financial aspect to it, you're able to just kind of go wherever you want to. So if you're in a state where you don't really align with their values or align with the laws, or it's just, you know, you're getting taxed to death. With this, you're able to move somewhere and you just have that, you know, financial independence and the ability to just travel anywhere that's going to be best serves you. And with technology today, you can do a lot of stuff from home. You can create your own line, your own marketing. You can do, you know, whatever you want to pretty much from your home. And so you don't necessarily have to be locked inside a big city and do the daily grind, get stuck in rush hour traffic. Like all of that starts to add up and takes a toll on everybody. And so that's one of the things that I find that I hope that more people are able to unlock that aspect of Bitcoin is the self-sovereign ability. Wade, are you back there?
Yeah, I missed the question. This is my hour of getting ready for work also. So I heard my name. What was the question?
No, it's just, if you want to share, if you can't and you're getting ready for work, that's fine. But just, you know, it's Freedom Friday. So just want to know what part of Bitcoin and the freedom aspect do you find the most interesting, or would you like to see, you know, pushed further?
Simply first thing that comes to mind as you take the freedom of speech discussion we just had. Speech is, everybody wants freedom of speech, but only freedom of their speech. And a lot of us want freedom of speech, period, but those that disagree with us want to limit our speech. Bitcoin can be tied to freedom of speech 2.0 in the sense that you can limit my speech, or you could limit my use, or you either have to accept Bitcoin and benefit from it like you would speech, or you have to fight against it. But if you fight against it, you are also going to be limiting your speech. So you either accept Bitcoin for what it is, not manipulating it like you could speech, or you screw yourself and you will not have access to the value of the technology, including the number go up aspect of it. So that's what I love about it. You look at Congress, the whole theory that they were going to outlaw it. I knew a long time ago that they wouldn't, because they want to protect their value. They want to protect their speech. They want to protect their rights. Even if they want to limit yours, Bitcoin will not let them limit yours and still have access to it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Thank you, Wade. Bob, did you want to go ahead and contribute to this, or did you want me to go ahead and roll on to some more?
Just, I guess, on the fear of repeating what other people said that I didn't hear, I'll pass for right now. Sorry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
I just want to mention one other thing. I don't really know much about this use case, so maybe this is more of like a part of like a question too. I'll post it to the space, but I remember, MartyrMaid, Daryl Cooper, he had posted something about like, publishing his work on Bitcoin. So I don't know if you've like heard of this or, know like how this use case, like how this is actually facilitated and stuff. But interested to hear any thoughts you have on there.
So I'm trying to look at it right now. Can you elaborate a little bit further on what it is, Yomar?
I don't know. I just remembered, like, cause we were talking about like how, like, just cause of the subject, like why you're in Bitcoin. And I remember seeing MartyrMaid, posting this. So it kind of just made me think of it. So, I wasn't sure if you had heard of it before, if you know anything about this. But I guess not. So maybe it'll be something to look into and to talk about another day. I pinged him too, but the odds of him finding that message are probably slim.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I'll have to look into it. And no, I'm not familiar with this, but I'll look into it over the weekend. But I think that's, you know, that's another thing about that, the freedom aspect of Bitcoin is just all the different, you know, the different rabbit holes it opens up. Like you go down this journey of Bitcoin and what it is. And I think that was one of the big takeaways for me is also the different things that are just unlocked before you, and just, it just exposes all of the corruption, in the system, and there's really no hiding from it. And so, we had him on, probably about a month ago, but, the author of Fiat Foods, Matthew Lisick, he came on, and I think that I have tons of copies of Bitcoin Standard. I always pass it out to people. That's my go-to when I want to try and get them, orange-pilled. But I've also started purchasing the Fiat Foods with it. It's kind of passing out as a 1-2 punch. Just because the amount of corruption and greed and just the outright lying that happens, within the government and how they propose things is really frightening. And I don't think they can get away with it as much as they were before. And that's also, part of the thesis of the sovereign individual, is that the government just, you know, their lies aren't easily hid. But it's for me, it's just so crazy. The amount of how we're supposed to have grains and the food pyramid and what we're putting into schools, how that was just all orchestrated by just like a cult almost, and how they wanted it to try and push their beliefs. And there was no scientific data to back what they were claiming. And so that's one of the rabbit holes in the freedoms that Bitcoin can expose. You know, the other one is just, you know, fitness. How many of us started finding Bitcoin and, you know, through healthy eating, you started finding that, like, walking. I forget his name, but he works at Swan. But he's always, Stephen Lubka, always talking about walking. He walks like 30,000 steps every day. Like, how many people has he helped, you know, with that freedom of just healthiness and being healthy and just walking and just, and how that's helping their life. So again, there's so many different rabbit holes that you can go down with Bitcoin. So that's another aspect of the freedom side that, I really, really like.
So for me, to get a little bit personal, kind of a part of what I think is important and due to my history, I had a ex who had two children of her own, and then we got together and we had two children together, and she took on a drug habit, and I had to quit my job, and I pulled my retirement two times and relocated her across the country and tried to get her life squared up, and that fell through, turned into an interstate custody battle. I had to return to Juneau. I ended up getting custody of both her children and mine, managed to raise them, and raising the two we had together now, with my partner that you guys met down in Nashville. But trying to understand how the U.S. could deal with things like narcotics and understanding how that world works. But it's all based off the incentives, like, you know, to legalize narcotics. Well, what's driving the narcotics? Well, the money printer's driving the narcotics to be flown across the border. The people who live in developing nations, they have their own substance abuse issues, but they don't have anything like we have in the U.S. So if you want to impact what's going on, you go after the, you know, what's causing the disease. You don't go after the symptoms. The disease is the money printer, whether it be people, you know, illegal immigration, or whether it be and what's causing the immigration. It's people wanting to get close to the money printer. What's causing the import of the drugs? Well, people want access to the money printer. They want that money that we can print to infinity to export to. And we just, for our incentive is to export our inflation. So it's a benefit to people in the U.S. to export the dollar, because we're exporting the inflation as we print to infinity. So it's the whole plague of narcotics, and then the incentives of how you live your life. If you live in a society where your value doesn't go up over time through your savings, you're incentivized more to spend. Like if you go to the store, and until you experience this personally, and you've been in Bitcoin just you know, just a little while, you go in and you see that can of Pringles for $3 at the store. Like, I really want that can of Pringles, but you know, it's $3. Well, $3 is no big deal. But then when you look at it as a Bitcoin, you're like, well, in 4 years, that's $30. And in 8 years, that could be $300. So that's a $300 can of Pringles. So it's the same with other things too, whether it be alcohol or tobacco or narcotics. And don't get me wrong, I like a good drink, but the incentives for how you live your life can be changed, and the incentives for bad behavior go away. So the disease is the money printer. It's not all of the symptoms. For war, that's a symptom of the disease. The money printer is the disease.
Yeah, you're spot on with that, Wade. And just really quick, I see we have Brady out in the audience. If you want to come up here, sir, I'd like to get your take on this topic here, freedom and, or sorry, Bitcoin and how it can introduce freedom for people that are locked up or chained up into the system. But you hit on something there I want to just keep tugging on, Wade, and that was savings. And people are incentivized to do any type of savings with the way the current system is. Things are just constantly getting more expensive, and there's no, they can't save. I think there was a report released just recently that it was 60% of Americans couldn't raise $1,000 for an emergency. And so that's a huge issue. And that's one of the things that Bitcoin can unlock. No, I do think that there is hope for those people. I do think that they can start saving in Bitcoin and it will make their life impactful. But also they can start working in a system where they get paid in Bitcoin, where their money starts to grow instead of shrink and become more expensive. And so for the people who can't afford to buy $1,000 worth of Bitcoin right now, switch your gears, switch your job, switch your payment, and start getting Bitcoin and watch it grow and watch your life start to change for the better. And so that's a huge thing. And like you said, it does incentivize you to change what you're willing to put money into. Like that can of Pringles thing, people just listening might think that's a joke. But watch, go pick out any item right now and put it in terms of Bitcoin, put it on a sticky note, you know, on your fridge or somewhere, or just in your calendar on your phone as a reminder. And then 4 years later, check it out. And Wade's pretty spot on. It's going to become multiples higher in price. So it really makes you, do I really need that? Do I really need to get the new iPhone that came out? Again, even though I don't even know what version of iPhone we're on right now, but they're thousands of dollars. Like there's no need for it. And so just changing your mindset, and it's really important to do that. Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat.
I've been playing the long game with, Orange Pilling, some bartender friends of mine. And, bartenders have it hard in the sense that they can't ever get a loan. They can make a ton of money, but they can't ever get a loan because they never claim any of the money they make. So they're, if there's anybody that's right for being orange pilled, they're, you know, they definitely are. And a very old friend of mine who I ran into last night, a long time ago, about a year ago, I tipped her $20 in Bitcoin, and I made her, you know, get the moon wallet, just dropped her the tip. And every time I go in there, she gives me an update. And last night I was in there with the, BB Bitcoin veteran from Anchorage, and, asked her how much she had in there now, and she's up over $70. And she finally asked me, I don't even know how to buy. How would I buy? I'm like, yeah, we'll get there. So I want to tackle that issue tonight. Probably just stop through and let her know how to show her how to set up the Strike app and buy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure if I had said this in this space where I was talking to my wife earlier in the morning. So I apologize if I'm repeating myself. But it is important during this week when we have family members coming and we're talking a bit about Bitcoin, we're not talking about the price. Like talk about the price, but that's not the reason why they should get in. Because again, if they're only getting in for number go up, they're going to be the first one to sell when the number goes down. And again, Bitcoin is volatile. So make sure they understand the fundamentals of it, and then just point them in the right direction. I think myself, I can find myself getting frustrated with the responses you get when you start talking about Bitcoin. And people, you know, what if the government can shut it down? What happens if there's a blackout? What happens if the internet goes out? You know, you name the excuse, and you just keep kind of rebutting them with that, and they still just, they don't want to get into it. I find myself just wanting to just be like, okay, then I guess you're never going to understand. So I guess I want to challenge everybody to push through those hurdles and those obstacles and just, and have the patience and just show them real life examples where Bitcoin is the benefit and the right option, and then point them in the right direction. Don't let them go find their own place to purchase Bitcoin from, because if they go to Coinbase or one of those other Binance, they're going to see these other coins that are a lot cheaper. And in their mind, they think, well, if Bitcoin is $100,000, why can't Dogecoin go to $100,000 too? So, but look at the price on it. If I put in $1,000 in Dogecoin, I'll have so many more. And when it goes to $100,000, I'll be a trillionaire. So, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to do this. And I'm telling you, there's,
I'm going to clip that and haunt you with it, just so you know.
Say that again.
I said, I'm going to clip that little statement that you just made. I'm going to haunt you with it. I'm just going to post it all over for you.
Yeah, please. Because
you shilling Dogecoin. I mean,
I am just shilling.
Make Dogecoin. It completely out of context.
That's how you set up for failure. And then these people, they will find it. And they're, and again, their mindset is still ingrained in fiat, and they have that very short time horizon. And I just want to make a quick buck on this. This seems easier. So don't let them find it for themselves. Point them in the right direction. Treat them like you would your child when they were a toddler. You give them guidance and directions, but you're just kind of there just to kind of keep them inside the buffers. Make sure they don't stray too far away, and you just tell them where they need to go. So that's really important. And on that Doge thing, I remember when Elon and Vivek became, Trump appointed him to the Doge department, someone posted that the Doge coin was up 90% in just a matter of hours. I would wager a large bet that those people who increased the price of Doge only thought it because they saw Doge in a headline and they thought that they were going to make it into some kind of reserve currency. I guarantee they had no idea. It had nothing to do with the coin, and that it was part of a government department. So again, we just have to make sure that we set them up for success and try and prevent them from failure. So that was really good, Wade.
I always like to
point out that you. Sorry, go ahead, Wade.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Coleman, you mentioned earlier, handing out like copies of books. I think that's a really great way to handle it. You know, like you probably won't have the hours and hours it takes to really, orange pill everybody you meet. But if you, you know, if somebody has that kind of itch and they're looking for more information, if you tell them to buy a book, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But if you hand them a book, you know, you just remove one more barrier for them learning. So, I think that's a really awesome way to, you know, spread the word.
It is, because again, you can tell somebody something and they may or may not, you know, take it at face value or believe you. But if you give them a book that just reiterates almost everything that you said in greater detail, you know, you're just reaffirming what you just said. I didn't mean to cut you off, Wade. Sorry.
That's all good. I always like to go over the 4-year cycle. That's a big thing. And I don't think the 4-year cycle is going to continue on the way it has been with the absolute scarcity and the flywheel effect that different corporations have going on now. But it gives people an idea of what could happen and therefore prepares them for the drawdown. And you just let them know that this isn't a 1-year thing. You're not looking at next year cash now. Well, but I could. Well, understand that the cycle may not continue like this. And if it doesn't, it's going to continue to go up and you don't want to miss that. So how about you just lock up your money for 5 years? You know, even if it's $5, lock it up for 5 years, add to it when you want, but don't cash out. Just don't ever cash out. Well, how would I? Well, we'll get there. You know, hook them up with Strike or Swan, where it's a little bit more cumbersome to cash out. I think Strike's easy to cash out. Swan's harder. But, yeah, just, I try to direct them not to try to utilize the funds unless they're going to have like a moon wallet and use it for Bitcoin transactions, which I show them how to do as well.
What's your go-to wallet if you're going to try and set them up with? I know there's different exchanges, but if you're just trying to send somebody $5 really quick to show them how quickly it is, what's your go-to non-KYC wallet? Mine's
Moon. It's ultra easy. I can set them up in less than a minute. The download's like 8 seconds. And as soon as they open up the app, they create their PIN. Once their PIN's created, they can send receive. And that shows them right there. There's no KYC, no AML. There's no banking bullshit. And then there's no like, and then I have them just click, I have them click receive. I go to my wallet. I click send, drop them $10 generally is, you know, trying to get somebody in, just to show them how it works. Cause I want to give them something that has a little meat to it that they're going to be able to see over time. I have them back out of the receive screen so that they're on the home screen, the main wallet page. And I say, doesn't matter where you are in the world, this is how long this transaction takes. And I hit send, and it's generally a second. And then right there, they feel the speed. They see the money in their account, and they know they don't have to give up their identity to do it. And then I walk them through, going through security. I tell them, when you click on security, you're going to want to set this up. You can tie it to your email. It's going to ask you if you want to tie it to your email. I said no. It's going to ask you again. You can say yes or no. But if you say yes, you're doxing yourself. If you say no, you're responsible for your seed phrase. This is not a normal seed phrase. The moon wallet's a little different. You get a weird series of characters that aren't like any other app. It's not like the traditional keys, and it's not like a regular seed phrase situation, just like random letters. But write that down and understand that if anybody ever tries to steal your Bitcoin, steals your phone, doesn't matter. You still have that phrase. You can download the moon wallet on any other phone anywhere in the world. Enter that and it's instantly yours again. And then right there, all the bells and whistles, the questions come out like, oh, well, I can go across the border. I can go through security. I can, like, all of these things become a reality. The things that they've heard, they've never seen. It's never been tangible, but now they have it in their hand. And that's the quickest way. I don't know if Jordan's still in the room, but he watched me nail a couple of the ladies who worked the hot dog stand at the Anders party in Nashville. And I had he asked me to come over and set them up because they were interested. I went over, gave my spiel, and they were completely done. They were on board at that point. So I like to do very fast, high impact. You know, I don't like to give people a choice. Would you like to do this? No. Grab your phone. And he was shocked too. I managed to get the girls to hand me their phones and go through the process, you know. So that shocked him that I was able to disarm them that fast. But if you're quick and you let them develop their questions as you're showing them how to do it, or you ask them a question like, so now they don't have your identity, do they? Can they tell you what you can and can't do? No, they can't, because you can do whatever you want because it's your identity and you protected that. Like, so yeah, the moon wallet's great. It's bad in the sense that it's not true lightning. So you're paying on-chain fees, but it's as fast as lightning. I'm not sure how they do that. If they just front the Bitcoin and, process a transaction over the next, you know, block. So you're paying the on-chain fee. So when the fees go up with the ordinals and all that crap, the fees got out of hand on moon. Because you couldn't use Lightning, but the simplicity of it is amazing.
I got rid of Moon during that time because it was just crazy to try and do that, to try and send money to it. The fees were too high. So I switched to Aqua, and I really like Aqua Wallet. It's quick. It's still non-KYC. It's really beneficial. But Wade, just so everybody has a perspective, how many times did you have to give that speech before you were able to perfect it and just kind of do everything and what to do and what not to do?
I have no idea. I think we're always improving.
So like probably close to 20, 30 times before you're able to get it down.
Yeah, Yeah, that sounds about right. Right off the bat, when I started orange pilling people in Juneau, fortunately that happened during COVID, and there were a bunch of businesses and a bunch of locals who were meeting in a local church, and they were talking about all the lockdowns and how it's affecting their businesses. And even as the COVID restrictions lifted, the people would still meet, and there'd be a couple hundred people that would show up there, and they'd talk about different topics. And we went from COVID to having 2 hours about, health or diet or, you know, how to, farming or just, homesteads. Like, it turned into all these different freedom topics. And it wasn't a religious thing, but it happened at the sanctuary at one of the local churches. So we had a lot of space, and they had me come in and do the Bitcoin spiel. Which was supposed to be a 2 hour presentation, turned into three. But a lot of the people from that group started hitting me up, and that's why I was able to grow Juneau faster than other communities, I think. Cause there's only 30,000 people in Juneau and no roads in or out. So we have a locked in area, but the fact that I was able to go to where the freedom lovers were during COVID, during a time of crisis, and push Bitcoin, a lot of people latched on real quick. And I perfected that spiel during that time frame. I'm like, okay, what do I need to use? How do I transact in Bitcoin? Now I have to know that I'm not just using Coinbase. So now what am I using? Okay, moving over to Strike. Okay, I like the Moon Wallet. So I haven't migrated from that yet. I did. It was last year. I had somebody down from Anchorage who works where I work at, and they wanted to see a transaction. So I shot him $10 over Moon, and I didn't look at the fee because I really didn't care, but they received it and then they wanted to send it back. And I was like, well, why? He's like, I don't want this. So then he sent it back to me, but it cost him $5 in fees to send the $10. And that was a turnoff. That was the one time that the fees really hit. I'm glad the fees have come down now. But yeah, that was, I see why you switched. I totally understand that, because now he's going to be a harder sell because of that error on my part.
No, and so that's one of the things I want to make sure everybody understands, is that you're not going to get it right the first time. You're probably not going to get it right the 10th time. It's going to take a lot of time and it's going to take a lot of failure. But the faster you fail at this, the quicker you're going to get better at it, and the easier it's going to be to onboard people. And you'll be just like Wade, and you'll be able to just, you'll know what to do, what cues to hit on, and you'll be able to just get them to download the photo and send it instantly. And just play around with it. Again, don't worry about failing, with your first couple of times. You'll get better at it, but just keep talking about it. And again, the more you talk about it, even if, you know, they weren't 100% sold, you planted that seed. It's somewhere back there. So the next time someone talks about it, it's going to be a little refresher for them. And if you're going out to eat, I highly recommend just asking your server if they accept Bitcoin. You're going to know the answer is probably going to be no. But see if you can tip them with Bitcoin. That's really easy. You know, servers have time to talk and interact, so you don't have to really rush it. But that would be a great sell. Like Wade had said, you tip the bartender and you have that relationship. You go back and you can just see, and you can keep probing them, and you can watch that Bitcoin grow and just continue to answer questions that they may have. So, really good there, Wade. I appreciate all that. Did I talk over somebody? That I heard someone's mic click on. So we are getting to the top of the hour. Already at the top of the hour. Did Ilmar or Bob, did you guys have anything you wanted to finish up on? Any last comments?
I think that it's really good to try to orange pill people different ways. I think we all come at this from a different perspective, and Bitcoin's impacted each one of us in different ways. I really like your perspective, Wade, on just making it easy. I do think that for most people, though, like when I orange pill, I've used Moon, I've used a lot of different things. A lot of times, like, I've gone away from just giving people Bitcoin, and the reason is because they end up losing it, or they don't care about it because they didn't trade time and energy to buy it. So what my approach now is just to get people up zero. So whether that's, you know, Strike or Swan or River or any of these other apps that make it easy, yes, they do have to give up their identity to do it. But I found that, with a lot of people, if it's their own skin that they're putting in the game, if you can get them to, sign up for one of these apps and just start dollar cost averaging, they stick with it versus just giving it away. So I think there's just different tactics. I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong way. But just wanted to give kind of that other side, that other perspective.
Yes, yeah, so you have to make, that's perfect, Bob. You have to make it relatable to someone. You can't talk about something that's not applicable for your audience, or whoever you're trying to orange pill, because it's just going to go over their head. It doesn't matter to them, so why should they listen? So just ask probing questions that you know that they're going to have to respond a certain way, and then just make it relatable around that. If they haven't flat out come out and told you, like, some of the things that they find concerning with the fiat system, and those are easy, like, cost of housing going up. If they have kids that are about to drive, affording a new car. If their kids are about to go to college, university tuition, like all of these things are just becoming extremely expensive. And how does Bitcoin fix it? And just go into the spiel. So really, really good topic, guys. I really do appreciate everything. But I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up the show here. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody in the audience, Randy, I see out there. Jeff, let's see, who else do we have? B Maxi, RV, Jeremy Holt, Wayne, Z Mac. I really do appreciate you all tuning in. And then everybody who came up here on the panel, Eomar, Bob, Wade, Jordan, and Mining Goblin. I really do appreciate that. So tune in again next week. We're doing it Monday through Wednesday for sure. 10 a.m. Eastern. I might do a show on Thursday during Thanksgiving, but I'll go ahead and make some posts about that if I'm able to. And then we'll be back on Friday as well to go ahead and cover and see who was successful orange peeling their family on Thanksgiving. But it's the weekend, so go out there, have some fun, and just, again, think about how Bitcoin can better your life and how it can impact everybody else's and utilize that. Go through and just make things relatable. And just talk about it and just have the answers ready. Go ahead and listen back to this again, and it'll help clarify any questions you may have. So that's it. That's all I have for you. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday morning. Just don't shitcoin. Not even Doge. It's like buying a lottery ticket with yesterday's numbers.